Pieces to Form a Whole. Fracture. Written and read by Kurt Kenobi. Fandom Supernatural. Genre Angst. AUAR Canon Change. Lead in to Pre-Slash. Deancast. Summary. Post Swan Song. Dean doesn't go to Lisa, at least not right away. No, there's too much that he doesn't want to face that's coming up on him anyway. Rating, T/PG-13. I can't get any lower. I can't find all the pieces of my broken life. He doesn't go to Lisa. Well, at least not right away. There's no way. No freaking way. He can't bring himself to go to her door, see her big, brown, sympathetic eyes, or suffer the comforting embraces and words and patient hospitality she's sure to show. As much as he wants to do what was asked of him, wants so bad, just so he's done something right by, but he can't. And it'll be some time coming till he will, if he can't. He doesn't know, isn't sure. Nothing makes sense anymore. Maybe shit never really had, but it sure as hell doesn't now. Sure as hell. But anyways, he had said goodbye to Bobby, had felt the word choke like I'm sorry as he forced it out. Bobby understood, though. Let it slide. Dean is now off the hook, and he's heading off the res. It's inevitable, really. And Bobby knows. Bobby always frickin' knows. Of course, it's the default setting for Winchester coping. Sam did about the same thing, not so terribly long ago. John Winchester had done it until his end. Run so the shit, the hurt can't catch you. So Bobby had let him go. Let him go with a tight hug and a, if you ever need anything, son, and no more. Dean had smiled tightly, more of a pull of lips across his teeth. The offer was there, in the air. Like to stay that way, like so many things. Only certain thing in this fucked up, oh, but saved from total apocalypse, thanks to the Winchesters, world, it seemed, was his baby, and even she's a blessing and a curse. Cass is fucking shitty at goodbyes. It shouldn't be a surprise, especially with the reinstatement and all, but it is a bitch. Castiel's about, no, is, was, the only real friend Dean Winchester's ever had. The kind of person he could count on, surprisingly. Could even talk to, even if sometimes he was like a freaking brick wall or didn't always get Dean's expressions. But also could trust, who wasn't family, like Sam and Bobby, Ellen, Joe. Shit. Cass was around and went through a lot with Dean, for Dean, if he feels up to admitting it. But Cass is an angel again, capital letter and all, and he feels the need to be honorary heavenly sheriff, and vanish when the moment got heavy. Leave Dean alone with his deep thinky thoughts that are really near the last things he wants on his mind. Left when Dean needs a friend, his friend, even if Dean believes he just wants to be left right the fuck alone, for good. He wants nothing on his mind. Right now, or ever, ever would be a great deal. No fucking Castiel, angel of the Lord. Not Bobby, not a single goddamn thing. Not a fucking thought, definitely not. It isn't going to go his way, is it? Why do you ever expect it to? So Dean forces blankness on himself, makes his mind a space of white noise as he drives, alone. Memories and thoughts try and invade, and he forces them away. Bleaches and smudges them, tossing them back toward his broken mental lockbox. He wants to flip on the radio, maybe even rustle up a cassette. Drown the onslaught with Led Zap, or have Metallica pound them into submission, but simultaneously the idea of hearing it makes his stomach knot and twist, burn. He keeps his eyes instead firmly on the road, as much as he can, trying not to glance at the dial or the gleam of the chucked iPod dock in the passenger floorboard. Still there after all this time, still there even when... He watches the road. The asphalt is monotonous, blank. It doesn't tell a story, just an open canvas for whatever happens, pointing forward, not back. It doesn't hold memories he wants to deny, just a road, like every other, like no other. It's constant and everything and nothing. He finally concedes to his body's need to hang it up for a while just outside of nowhere somewhere. Reluctantly checks into a motel. He feels a slew of emotions he ignores. This is a catch-22, the only neutral option being to just lie down on the side of the road somewhere. Dean doubts he would ever get himself back up from there if he did that, though. The bored night clerk slips him the key to room 13 as he shoulders his duffel and trudges toward the room. His reserve starts to slip with his exhaustion. The details hold back, waiting for their opportune moment to strike, but the weight of it. It presses down on him, in on him, his step laden with it, throat tight, chest clenching. It's straight fucked up that just the thought hurts so damn bad. He can stand physical pain, a hell of a lot more than most, a hell of a lot. But this is worse than... Okay, so not going there. No. As bad as... No. Just like where... Dean grits his teeth, bites the inside of his cheek, just brick skin, a counterpoint to his pain, a distraction so he can forcibly direct himself away from that. There. He can handle it at the edges of his thoughts, hovering, gnawing, and opens the door. It's too quiet, too still inside, the only break in it the sound of his compulsorily measured breathing. He slings his duffel hard at the bed, not even consciously realizing he's trying to break the suffocating quiet. Quiet. Quiet like that awful moment the ground sealed after Sam with Lucifer as co-pilot and Michael wearing Adam had fallen into the cage. The quiet like that instant of a moment Sam, his Sam, Sammy, had looked him in the eye. He could barely see him, one eye swollen completely shut and the other well on the way to the same, offering him the meager visibility of a blurry sliver. His face was a huge, painful mess, every point bloodied and bruised and throbbing, thumped and burned in the shape of his brother's knuckles. That hadn't been his brother, though. It wasn't Sam. That was Sam, shaggy hair whipping in the wind, and the deafening roar of this mute moment. That was Sammy, standing there, that puppy-doggish, pleading but not quite sorry face he had, the last view Dean had had of him before he'd left for Stanford. Sammy was leaving him, deliberately, again, because he had to. And Dean didn't want him to, but didn't stop him. Shit. Dean splashes his face with water in the tiny bathroom, forsaking the open room. This glorified closet has the illusion of containment, and he needs to contain himself. He grips the edges of the sink hard enough to imprint, head bowed. He meant to collect himself, pull it together, but that sucking hollow in his chest is opened up, a vacuum for his existence and will, very much like Lucifer's cage, but within him. When he thought he had lost everything, all that was left, pitiful handful that it was, that mattered to him, gone, leaving him resoundingly alone. The sucking hollowness had opened within him. He had been so close, almost let it all go, just caved in. What a... Dean meets his own gaze in the mirror. Intense cat-green eyes stare back, blank and haunted, haunting, shining almost translucent gray-green in the harsh light. Open wide, set in his unmarked face, the only trace of his recent hell the smudges beneath his eyes. His eyes themselves. Not a scratch, or gouge, or bruise and swelling left to illustrate what he felt within, illustrate just what he'd given and lost and fought. Cass had wiped it all away when he'd miraculously returned, hopped up on new and improved restored angel mojo. He'd taken it from Dean. Again, just like with hell. The thought scorches sour like acid at the back of his throat, twisting in his stomach. Fucker. He had to believe that maybe if he had some physical trace of Stull, he could take this. It wouldn't just be all in his head. It'd fucking be real, and it'd fucking hurt. Pain that he could manage, control, see. Fuck! It was the shards crackling as they hit the floor that roused Dean back to the moment and what had just happened. Blood trickling warmly across his bald right hand. Familiar. Comforting. He'd put his fist through the damn perfect mirror, right into his damn falsely perfect reflection. The shards scattered like shrapnel, twinkling across the dingy tiles and dotted with crimson sliding rose red within the basin. Some glass still hung within the metal frame. Green eyes gazed back at him, distorted, disjointed. Fractured. It isn't what he'd been at Stull. Fuck. He's still all angelically, blessedly, fucking cursedly more like whole. But at least now there's something outside that matches his within. It's not enough. Not by a far fucking cry. And he can't contemplate, can't fathom what will be. Like every hope he's had, it probably something that he'd just lose anyway. I need a summer.